to the book of Luke, chapter number 15. Before we get started, I want to say that I thank God for placing me in a church to rest. Brother Ken was talking this morning about his wife, Miss Renee, and you know, it's real hard on a pastor's wife. Hard on a pastor, but it's hard on a pastor's wife because she has to take the blunt of everything. God has truly blessed me with a good woman, a good wife, and I love her. She's put up with me for 31 years, so evidently she loves me too, so. This afternoon, I'd like to preach a message, if God will give us the liberty here to preach on, and it's a very familiar passage. It's about the lost son that's gone off to, that's got full of pride. But I want to kind of change it around just a little bit, because this is talking about a lost son, but I want to talk about a backslide, a person that's backslid. If you'll notice, I'm going to read just a little bit. The Bible says, "And he said a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.' And he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered together all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with righteous living. When he had spent all that there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy this with me. No more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son..." Let me clear my eyes where I can see. "And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no longer more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servant, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again, and he was lost and is found. And they began to be merry." Our Father, Lord, we thank you for this night. Lord, I come to you asking you, Father, to Be with us now, Father, and just guard our mouth, Lord. Give us words to say straight from heaven, Lord, that we need to hear tonight. Father, we can't do this on our own, Lord. We got to have your help. Lord, I just want to ask you for one more time to help me, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. As I was looking at this, and I was trying to focus on how it was that this young man, he was lost, but the Lord kind of showed me in a different direction that, you know, not all the time, but there's a battle going on in our life each day. And as I get up in the morning times, there's a battle that I have to face. And if you'll notice, when you get up in the morning time, there's a battle that you have to face. And that battle is between the devil and God. That battle is where God is saying, listen, you're my child, and there ain't nothing going to harm you. But here's the devil coming along, and if you'll notice, the devil will come along and he'll start telling you, listen, they don't nobody care about you. They don't nobody want you around. They don't want nobody. I want to hear you talk, especially since I've been a pastor, and it's been like the devil's been saying, listen, they don't even nobody want to hear you preach. But so many times God has showed different, and so many times, but I don't want to get on now. I want to get focused on this young man. As I was sitting there and I was studying this, I noticed how this young man, he went to his father. How much pride he must have had in his life to go to his daddy and tell his daddy, listen, I want a portion of goods that come to me. Can I tell you this? There's so many times in my life and that I see kids and I see adults go to God and get everything they can for God, Brother Ken. They try to get everything they can when God, whenever they think they got all they can, they turn their back on God and walk away. I see how it is here. This young man, as he went to his father, how he must have been just bold in his how he must have been full of pride. His head was full of poison, no doubt that his head was. I was telling Mom, and I want to tell a story just for a minute. I won't stop. I want to tell a story. Not whenever I was a youngster, I had a. Mom was married to a man. I don't want to call him my uncle because he's not my uncle, but she was married to a man, and the man had a brother, and the brother had been down south somewhere. Anyway, he come back up to the house, and as he came back, he got to talking about what all was going on and how it was down there and where he was living, and he got to talking about all this other stuff about nothing I ever heard of before. And I got to listening to him, and all of a sudden he introduced me to this rock and roll music. Forgive me, but it was Elton John. I'm sorry, but that's before he come out of the closet, all right? But he introduced me to some things. Some things I didn't know nothing about. All I ever heard was country music. The old country music. But he introduced me to some things. And I wanted to interject that in there because I could see this young man. Somebody must have introduced him to the far country. Somebody must have told him about the big lights of the city. Somebody must have told him about how good it was out there in the world. How good it was to get out there and spread your wings. And how good it was to have a good time. I got to noticing the poison that filled this young man's mind. The poison. You know something? It would do us good if we would stop in the morning times and ask God to protect our minds so that our minds don't get clouded with the poison that the world has got for us. We get so full of the worldly stuff that it's real easy to walk away from God and not say any and not have anything to do with God all day long. We don't read our Bible, we don't study, we don't do anything for God all day long, but we still want God's blessings. I saw the poison, the pollution of the world. On TV, you turn on the TV, you can't even turn on the TV now without it being cussing all over the TV, without it being something sexual all over the TV. And we're sitting here, and we're exposing our kids to it every day. And it's poisoning, and it's polluting our kids. This young man was polluted. He had got, his mind was poisoned. His mind was polluted with the things. The Bible says that he went to that far country. I just wonder if anybody told him what was lying ahead for him. I wonder if you're sitting here today and you're thinking about turning your back on God and walking away from God. I wonder today, do you really realize what lies ahead for you? This young man, as he went to the far country, I could see him as his chest was poked out and he was walking along and he was proud, and every step that he took, he got more bold and he was just so excited about going to the other far country. The further I get away from my daddy and mama, the better off I'll be. He goes out. When he got to the far country, I saw a lot on it, and I got to thinking about, when he got to the far country, did he see the big lights? How exciting it was. Had a pocket full of money. I'd strutting along. You've got a pocket full of money. God has blessed you day in and day out, and you've got a pocket full of money, but you can't be happy because you're not serving God. You're headed to that far country. You've done made it up in your mind that you're gone. Nothing nobody says, nothing nobody does, it's going to change your mind one single bit. Brother Mike, I've been there. I've been there, Brother Kim, where nobody was going to tell me. And I'm going to tell you something. Yes, I had a pocket full of money. I had everything. I was going to church. I was doing everything that I was supposed to until I got to a certain point in my life to where the church didn't matter to me no more. Church didn't matter. Said, I'll never step foot in another church again. Walked away. Proud. But Brother Ken, I didn't see the future. You can't see the future either. Because this young man didn't see the future. He went off and he got out there in the far country and he spent all his money having a good time, doing everything he could to please himself. Boy, how many friends he had. Whenever I walked away, I had plenty of friends as long as I supplied them the money to buy their beer and to buy their alcohol, buy their dope. I had plenty of friends. I was like the young man. I got out there and I got to doing what I wanted to. Didn't have a care in the world. But all of a sudden, one day, my world come crashing down. See, first of all, I started losing my family. My wife told me, she said, if you stay on that job, and I was going out of town, I was living life to the fullest out of town. She come to me one, and she said, if you continue living this life, if you continue working for this company, she said, you ain't going to have me no more or the kids. Okay. I come home for a little while. And I started working on the site. Still making the same money. Boy, they put me in charge of a site, and I was boss over a cruise and this and that, and I was making money hand over fist. But there's still something missing. And there's still something going to be missing in your life until you get back right with God. As this young man went, and as he went to the far country, and he spent every dime that he had, everything that he had, he spent on righteous living. And whenever he got done, spent everything that he had, all of his friends turned on him. Every one of them. I have lots of friends back years ago that I don't even know anything about anymore. Don't have a clue where they are. They don't call me no more. They know that I'm living right now. They know I changed my ways, and they know that God has set me back on the rock where I once was. And guess what? And now they don't even want to speak to me whenever they see me, if they do see me. Righteous living will take you further than you want to go. As I was noticing this young man, as I noticed that he spent everything that he had, he spent his son, everything, the friends walked away from him, and he had nothing. Nobody would help him. Nobody would talk to him. Nobody would even give him anything to eat. You know, as I was noticing that, I felt myself so bad, and Mom can tell you the same thing. I felt myself so bad down in that gully and down in the miry clay where that one night that the police called Mama and told her, said, we found him up under a van. Didn't have no place to go. Them friends that I did have threw me out of the house. They won't have nothing to do with me. And I was noticing as he went to a citizen, I noticed how much I just started thinking about he must have started being humble at this point in life. Humbleness will always take over. Whenever you don't have a single thing, that proud, that boastfulness that you once had, it won't be the same anymore. You'll be humble. You'll just be proud somebody even speak to you. This young man went to citizen of the country. And this citizen, as he was there, he Give him a job. Don't say that he give him any money for it. But he let him go feed the swine. This young man had shoes on his feet when he left. Well, God's been good to us to give us shoes on our feet. God's been good to us to give us clothes on our backs. God's been good to us to give us a house and a home that we can go to. He's been good to us to give us a wife and kids and grandkids. Well, some of us, I ain't going to call all of you got grandkids. Brother Dan, I know you ain't got no grandkids yet, but it's coming. God has been so good to us. Some of the things that I do in my life, some of the things that you do in your life, how in the world can a God of above love somebody and care for somebody and love and just squeeze me whenever I do wrong and tell me it's okay, I still love you, son? How can a God love someone like me? This young man, he went to feed the swine. The Bible says he was so hungry, he would eat the husk. This is very interesting because the Bible says that he came to himself. But my, when he came to himself and he got to, I could just imagine what he was saying. When he came to himself, he's got to start looking back. Oh my goodness. He got to looking back at home, back up where he came from, back where somebody loved him and cared for him. He got to looking back up there and saying, listen, I look back at my father, where I come from. I had everything that I needed. All I got to do is go back. And I know that if I go back, he'll put me in as a servant. And I know if I go back, he'll take me in and just treat me like a hired servant of his, and I'll still have some need. I still have somebody to talk to. I still have somebody to love me. So he got focused in on home. You know, it wouldn't hurt none of us today if we would start focusing, getting our eyes back on home once again. It wouldn't hurt us to say, listen, I've been running with the pigs long enough. I'm going to tell you something. The people that I run with, them the friends that I thought I had, they weren't nothing but a bunch of pigs. I raised two pigs that now. My grandboy the other day put him in there with them. He's going to catch one. Have y'all ever been in a pig pen? He's going to catch one. Yeah, boy, go for it, you know. Fall down in the ground, on the ground. Pigs done messed all in there. I noticed when he was going home, he smelt like the pig pen. I wonder how you smell tonight. Have you been out in the pig pen? Have you been out there wallowing in with the pigs? Have you been out there thinking that everything's going to be all right? It don't hurt me to get out here and just dabble in sin just a little bit. It ain't going to hurt me none at all. But I'm going to tell you something. Sin will take you farther than you want to go. and keep you longer than you want to stay. I got to think about this young man. I wonder if he had something to eat, if he would have stayed. I wonder if somebody had loved him just a little bit over there in the far country. I wonder if he would have stayed out there in the far country. I can tell you this, without a shadow of a doubt, my full intentions was to stay away from church. I didn't want to have nothing else to do with church. Told you about the job. I had a lost job. They shut the company down. Didn't have no, I didn't know what I was going to do. Didn't have a clue what I was going to do. So, I get me another job. We started building a swimming pool. Had a big clod of dirt out there in the field who we had cleaned off for that swimming pool. Come home from that job one day, and the kids was out there riding their bicycles, and they was acting like they was going to jump that hill. And how many of you, as kids, jumped hills on a bicycle? I told them, I said, y'all don't know what you're doing. Get out of the way. Let me have that bicycle. Proud, boastful. I get on that bicycle and I going down through there, and boy, everything was going good. I hit that pile of dirt and I come up. My wife said, everything looked good, honey, except for the landing. Yeah. Right. I was flying high. Yes, sir. I didn't realize that there was a clod of dirt out there past that big hump of dirt. And when I come down, the front wheels hit that clod of dirt, and when it hit, it threw me over the handlebars. I landed on my neck. Broke my neck. Know what the first thing, as I was laying there, you know what the first thing was coming to my mind? Because all I could do was look straight up. You know what it was coming to my mind? You're one of mine. I'm not going to let you go. You got a decision to make right now at this very minute. You got a decision to make. You can lay here on your back for the rest of your life, or you can do what I called you to do. And if you don't do what I called you to do, you're not going to walk again. Well, that was an easy question. That was something easy that I had to make. So I said, I'll do whatever you want me to do, Lord. I knew what it was. But you know something? I can look back and I can say that God took care of me. You know, as I was looking at this young man and I seen as he come home to God, as he come home to his father, I noticed one thing in the Bible. Back in them days, the father had the right to run and step on that kid's neck when he fell down at his feet and break his neck and kill him right there. Yes, sir. But he had grace. God had grace on me that day. And God's got grace for you tonight. I don't know if you're sitting here. I don't know what you're doing. I don't know if you're even thinking about going on, getting out of church. I don't know if you've already backslid. I don't know if you're sitting here tonight lost and undone. But I can tell you this, there is grace waiting on you. God loves you. No matter how you may look at it, no matter how you may, what you may think about God, no matter how you, what you may think about the church, but I will tell you that God loves you without a shadow of a doubt. God will take you back. God loves you. God will take you in. Just as He did this young man, he went back to his father, and the Bible says when he was afar off, his father saw him. I just wanted to picture how it was as he was as he was headed back. Boy, how he must have had his head hung down. Oh, just let him accept me. Oh, what must have run through his mind? What if he won't take me back? They sang a song, the apple tree song. Y'all know the apple tree song? Y'all ever heard the apple tree song? Where the preacher and the young man was on a train coming back, and the preacher got talking to the young man, and the young man told him, said, I struck my daddy and my mom or something. I can't remember the whole song. But they threw me out, my dad threw me out of the house. But I got saved. I got saved, and I called my mom, I called my dad, and I told him, Dad, I got saved tonight, and I want to come home, and I'm going to be on this train, and if you'll take me back, will you tie a ribbon in an old apple tree? And as he was coming back, he was telling that preacher, and the preacher told him, he said, I can't bear to look. I can't bear to look. The preacher told him, said, I'll be your eyes for you. Brother Ken, I thank God for a preacher that loves me. That guides me. A lot of you don't know it, but I do consider Brother Ken as my pastor. Bible says that young man, come back. They got closer. Preacher looked out the window and he saw that apple tree and he said, son, no fear. He said, not only is there a ribbon tied to that old apple tree, but there's a old gray-headed Baba Daddy. And they got a white sheet. They're waving it. Tonight, there's a white sheet waving for you tonight. Come home. Come home, my son. Come home. The Bible also says that I was going to do the whole coat and shoes and all that, but the young man, as he got back home, and his daddy ran and fell on his neck and loved on him and kissed him. Bible says that his father told him, said, go get the best robe. He didn't tell him to go clean him up. He said, go get the best robe and put on him. Go get shoes on his feet. Go get a ring. And then kill the fatted calf because we're going to have a party. Tonight, there's a party waiting on you. There's a party in heaven waiting on you if you'd come back. Or if you would come to Christ tonight. He's waiting on you, Brother Ken.